you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What's up, fellow addicts? This is Shannon, the producer of The SDR Show. On today's show, joining Ralph Sutton and guest co-host James Mattern, we have an amazing guest. She is a world-renowned tattoo artist, a designer, a musician. She has a makeup line. She does it all. An overall really cool chick, Kat Von D. They discuss her new band, album, how she set and lost a tattoo record within like a day. She has a lot of cool stories. It was a great episode. Before we start, remember that we do this show live every Wednesday and Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern at gasdigitalnetwork.com/live. That's for free, but you could have heard the show 5 days earlier if you were a subscriber. You can get a 7-day free trial by going to gasdigitalnetwork.com and using promo code SDR. That will give you 7 days of full access to the entire website, which gives you every single episode of the SDR show we've ever done, as well as access to all the other amazing shows on the Gas Digital Network, including the 3 brand new shows this year, Yo MMA Rap with Luis J. Gomez and Dave Smith, Berg's Base, hosted by a comedian, Aaron Berg, and Wild Goose, hosted by Zach Wild and JD DeServio, currently of the Black Label Society. All of that and so much more when you subscribe to the Gas Digital Network. So right now, here it is, the Kat Von D episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me, the second most frequented co-host on my show, it is James Mattern. Thank you, dude, for being a part of it, as always.
The nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Is that the nicest thing? I feel bad for you. I'm sorry to hear that.
I had a couple girls say they love me, and I'm like, no, I'm waiting for Ralph to say I'm the second most.
I love you. I would say I love you, buddy. I'm very open with my feelings. I'm very excited to have this guest on. This happens to me once in a while where I'm aware of someone and like someone, but then do some research and it makes me like them even more. We'll start off by saying happy 40th birthday, which is right around the corner. It is Kat Von D. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
By the way, you and our producer Shannon are both about to turn 40. Let's start the top of the show like that. How does that feel to you? Are you excited to turn 40? When I turned 40, 30 didn't bother me. 40 bothered me. 50 didn't bother me. So it's just kind of weird how that happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel great. I think I look the best I've ever looked. So I'm not really like one of those women that are like bummed out about aging gracefully, you know. But I always said like I looked forward to my 50s. I feel like that will be like my golden decade, but who knows?
Well, I'm 2 years into 50 and I feel okay. I think I feel better than I've had in a long time. 40s were not good for me at all. James, how old are you?
I just turned 44.
Oh, you're just on 4'4". Okay, that's good. You look good. You look young for your age. Very cool. Yeah. Okay, so a lot of things to talk about in your life. The new album we're getting to. We just talked on off air for like 10 minutes about being vegan and food and makeup. Like, there's so much to get to. But first, I will tell you that even though I am kind of a puss, right? I have zero tattoos. Well, sort of one, which I've explained on the show many times, but not really a tattoo. Do you look at a guy with no tattoos as kind of a puss? Or it's just...
No. Not at all. I mean, nowadays, I think if you don't have any tattoos, you're like the new rebel. Everybody has them, you know, right. It's like everybody's grandma has them.
Is it something that you're still passionate about is tattooing, or have you moved away from that completely?
No, I absolutely love tattooing. I mean, I'm going to be tattooing until the wheels roll off. You know, I think people think that you pivot from career, but I think you can do it all. And, you know, I love tattooing. It's ingrained in my entire being, you know?
Yeah. I read that you were in the Guinness Book of World Records at one point. Is it still true that you're still in for the most tattoos in 24 hours? Is that still your... Sorry, say that again.
I set the world record for doing the most tattoos in 24 hour period. I did 401 maybe, I think. And then I think like my shitty ex-husband who has Napoleon syndrome, like had to beat it the next day.
Oh no, he didn't. Did he really do that? What a douchebag. Oh yeah, my God. Totally.
But you know, there's only one person that can set it. So,
but that's such a douchey thing to do. Oh totally. My God. What an idiot.
Michael Jordan thing. Yeah.
what would, I don't mean, I know it was a long time ago, but I'm just curious what constitutes it qualifying as a tattoo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you actually, Guinness is very strict about that. They have certain protocols that are approved ahead of time. So it wasn't like I could just do a dot, you know, it had to cover a certain square footage. It had to contain like two colors, meaning like there's shading involved. And all of them had to be the same. So, so I had everything pre-approved and they bring like their guy there to monitor everything. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty legit.
When you look at the 401st tattoo versus the first, could you tell that the quality had gone down or would you say they were just as good?
I think the first ones were the worst.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Because
it
was just such an intense moment, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. and then throughout the day I was like getting in the groove, you know?
Uh-huh. So that's pretty wild.
But you know, we did it for charity. So it wasn't really about the tattoo. It was like, right. You know, everybody, we donated 100% of the proceeds to a charity. It was pretty cool.
I've told this story on the show, so I apologize to the listeners, but I have a woman that's so iconic with tattooing. I have to at least announce it because I have none, as I've said. And I hosted this thing for 10 years called Shiprock, which is a big rock and roll festival at sea with bands and stuff. Uh-huh. Right. And I realized I was the only person on the boat without a tattoo. So as a joke, I said on stage, I'm going to get a tattoo right now. And I dropped my pants. And a tattoo artist came out and he put a dot on my ass. So I have a dot on my ass. I've never seen it, but it's somewhere over there. And that's it. I just have a little tiny dot on my ass. And that's my one tattoo. I could no longer be buried in a Jewish cemetery because of
it's
that.
Official.
Yeah, I'm a badass now. I'm a real badass.
Wheels.
You're one of us.
This is how much of a puss I am. Shannon's going to hate the story, but I burned my finger really bad last night. And I was complaining about it all night on the show last night. And I couldn't sleep because it was throbbing so much. And you wear those stupid, like, you know, things you put in a freezer to stay cold.
Yeah.
It stays cold for like 20 minutes and I would wake up in pain. So yeah. I had a acai berry like packet and I was holding it and that helped. And I went to sleep and I woke up in the morning and at some point, I guess I had squeezed it and opened the packet and it looked like someone had been murdered in my bed sheets. There was just acai berry everywhere. And that's how I spent my morning is doing my acai berry laundry. There you go. How cool is that, James?
Buddy, I mean, you're more punk than anyone with tattoos in 1970. I mean, you basically are all four members of the Clash.
Yeah, there we go. Fair enough. Okay, so now, just to now do this, when you were a kid, this is what I find fascinating. You're classically trained in piano, right? Yeah. I think you grew up you were born in Mexico, right? Correct.
Yeah.
But at some point, you're obviously, if you're classically trained in piano, logically, and maybe this is me making some grandiose statement, but you're coming from a pretty cool background, like a good nourishing background. But at some point you say, well, fuck this. I'm going to go be a tattoo artist. That could not have gone over well.
No, it didn't. But especially for the times, you know, back then it wasn't like there was a TV show to like glamorize it in any way. But yeah, I think my parents always knew that it was important to nurture art within the household. So, you know, they enforced the 2 hours a day of practicing piano, you know, much to our dismay. And now I'm just so grateful that they did that. You know, I think it instilled a certain amount of discipline and it's ultimately you're learning a new language, which is nice, especially with reading sheet music. And I also believe that like classical music upbringing was what shaped my love for metal. You know, I think that's why I connected so deeply when I discovered metal, because the riffs were scales to me. And I was like, oh, that's something I could admire, you know, versus like the punk rock music that I originally got into. I was like, oh, you know, this is just like power chords, you know?
Well, it's because some metal dudes really brought like Yngwie Malmsteen or whoever, they brought that, you know, they even called it like metal, neo-metal classical or some weird fucking name. I forget what they called it. But they were basically just doing really fast classical scales and laying it over hard drums. And it was sounded like a metal song.
Yeah. I mean, even like singing when I think of like Iron Maiden or Dio, it's like very operatic. I mean, this isn't something, this is something that was mastered. And I've always admired those who are great at something, you know?
Right.
And so I think my heart really responded to that. And yeah, so, but anyways, going back to what you were saying was, of course, you know, my parents came from pretty religious backgrounds and they didn't understand this, like why their child was expressing themselves outwardly, and whether it was how I was dressing or, you know, who I was hanging out with. And it was interesting because, like, the first time I ever did a tattoo, it was, I did a misfit skull on my friend, and it was like super ghetto with a guitar string, like handmade, like terrible excuse of a machine. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I just knew that this felt right. You know, like the first line I tattooed, I was like, oh, this is, it's so obvious. This is what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life. And why would I waste my time going to school?
You do it, like, did you follow a YouTube video? I mean, YouTube probably wasn't around at that
point. There was no YouTube. I think AOL
figure out started. How to do it. You know what I mean? Did you get a book on it? Or, like, you know, if you're doing, you're saying it seemed like very makeshift, you MacGyvered it somehow. How did you do that?
Yeah, I think I did the best with the tools that I had, and it was semi-intuitive. I was underage at the time. Obviously, I was 14 years old when I started tattooing. And so I had a plethora of underage friends that were willing to let me tattoo them because they couldn't get tattooed at a tattoo shop. And I just started practicing. And then by the time I turned 16, I got into my first tattoo shop. And it was, you know, this gnarly biker guy who looked at my artwork, my drawings, and he saw some promise. And then I basically had to unlearn almost everything that I was doing.
Wow.
Yeah. So it wasn't a traditional apprenticeship, but, you know, I learned how a real tattoo machine is made, how they run, the sterilization aspect of tattooing, which is obviously the most important. And yeah, so that's kind of how I got into it.
When I was a kid, and go to rock clubs, this was before it was illegal to, like, tattoo drunk people. I don't think you can do that anymore, at least not in certain states. Right. And it was very common that you would have a tattoo shop in a rock club. Everyone's drunk and like, yeah, give me a tattoo. And you'd get a tattoo. And I was online. I was probably 18. I had the long hair down to my ass. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go get a tattoo. And at some point on the line, I sobered up and changed my mind and didn't do it. So that's why I don't have a tattoo.
You'd have two dots now.
I would have had two dots. Now. Exactly. Two dots. All right. So now, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, because I very often do research and you hear tidbits and some things are. So you obviously had a pretty successful makeup line, and at some point you sold it to focus on this album that just came out a little while ago. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's fucking badass. That's great.
Yeah. I had a makeup line, and I owned and ran it for 12 years. And I would say I have a tendency to stay in relationships for like an average of like two to three years too long. And so I think, you know, I think the magic had worn, you know, and I think the makeup industry was like blowing up in a way that it didn't really feel exciting to me anymore. You know, I was pumping out products versus art, and everybody started their makeup line. So I just saw like the piece of the pie getting smaller and smaller. And I'm like, for as much work as I put into this, I'm never going to be able to go on tour unless I sell it. So I sold the makeup line and then got ready to go on tour and release this album. And then obviously all the lockdowns happened. And so the whole entire world was like put to a halt. And and I think, you know, it's fine. I think everything happens in the time that it's supposed to happen. And I just feel lucky to be able to make music and share it, like, and to have people respond to it. It's such a cool feeling.
So what I find interesting, though, as well, because I know this happens, I'll give you a loose story. I own the network that this show is on. It's called Gas Digital, a bunch of different shows on there. And there's a comedian named Godfrey, been around for a long time. A rap guy or a rap artist named T.I. got up and did comedy somewhere, and Godfrey shit on the fact that he was trying to do comedy because he's a music guy. Like, how dare you get into my space, right? I have to imagine this is something that happens to you because you're like, fuck this girl, that she's already doing this and that. How dare you step into the music industry with them not knowing, that you have a background in classical music and the other stuff,
too. I think a lot of people don't know that, like, my first introduction to anything creative has been music. I've been playing piano since I was 5. And, you know, I think my only regret in life is that I hadn't done it sooner. You know, I was just busy filming the TV shows, then I went on a book tour, and then the makeup line and blah, blah, blah. And I just kept putting music on the back burner. But I don't blame people for being cynical, because far too many times, like, an actor or a celebrity will just be like, oh, let me go dabble in this. And, like, you know, with no regard to the craft.
Right. I get that.
They're just interested in making. And it's a disaster. You know, yeah. how many, I could name a few, but I won't, like, you know, actors who've put out albums and you're just like, oh God.
Name them all, Kat. Kat, we name names on this goddamn show.
The one I would say that
we're looking at you,
I think,
David Hasselhoff, we're looking at you, Germany. We fucking point our fingers at you, dog.
I think
I
Jared
love
Leto
David Hasselhoff's music. I think he's actually a really great singer.
Oh, James, Jim, after this,
he's throwing fire back, James. I think
tennis up in this bitch. We hit him back and forth.
I think Jared Leto nails it for sure. I think he's passionate in both, but also maybe because I'm not a super artistic dude, it's like, fuck you. If I want to do something else, who are you to tell me?
Yeah, of course.
And that bothers me when I hear shit like that. As long as it's genuine, if you're not doing it for the cash grab, who the fuck cares?
Yeah. And I mean, there's so many musicians artists and painters and even tattooers and stuff. And it's interesting to me because I feel like everybody kind of sees the grass greener on the other side. But the way I've always seen it is like Salvador Dali was known for his paintings, but he did everything from cookbooks to poetry and literature. He designed furniture, architecture. He even had a perfume line and a makeup line. And there's no lane for him. I think the whole world is his lane. And I think if we all aspire to do that, it would, you know, be better for it. But most people, I think they just want to tie you up in a little bow in a box and that's where you stay.
Because they can understand it. It's like, oh, that makes sense to me. I don't understand someone having more than one passion or whatever it is, but it's really just a weird thing. But I don't know. I get upset when anybody, like when a band wants to put out an album that's very different from the previous, who gives a shit? Let them do what they want to do. Let them experience whatever they want to fucking experience. I never understood that. I don't know.
You know what does bother me though? What bothers me is when a band like loses a member, like a lead singer, and then they replace them with, like, when the Doors went back on the, I'm like, what the fuck?
That bothers you? Doesn't bother me. They got to make money. Really? I don't know. What about like when it's like, sometimes they have more success. Look with Van Halen. I mean, look, not a lot of people realize
that.
Rob Halford wasn't Judas Priest's original singer. Not a lot of people even know that.
You're right.
You know, I don't know, but whatever. I'm too forgiving. I love it. Just be happy. That's all that matters to me.
Yeah. Anyway, so,
all right. Before we go any further, holy crap, am I excited about this sponsor? Brand new sponsor. It is called Chicken Skin Snacks. It's a very Jewishy thing, by the way. I grew up on this stuff. It's called like Gribbins or something. I may be pronouncing it wrong, but boy, that's like a delicacy at the old Sutton household. Chicken skin is an excellent way to satisfy your crunch craving snack. And it's a perfect alternative to carb-heavy snacks such as chips and popcorn with zero carbs per serving. Chicken skin is 100% organic chicken skin, sourced fresh and gluten-free. And chicken skin comes in 8 amazing flavors: original, salt and vinegar, buffalo wing, chili lime, salt and pepper, Jamaican jerk, and hot cheese. I mean, I'll be honest, haven't tried it yet, but I'm super excited to get it because it's a very Jewy thing, as I said. So I'm super excited to have it. You can enjoy chicken skin. You can enjoy chicken skin as a snack on its own, a salad topper, or even as nachos if you really want to pig out or chicken out, as the kids might say. Please go to chickenskin.com. That's chickenskin.com. Use the promo code SDR20 for 20% off your order. That is SDR20. For 20% your offer of Chicken Skin, that low-carb alternative to crunchy snacks. Let's get back into it right now. This album is kind of fascinating to me because you wrote it 10 years ago based on a former relationship, right?
Yeah.
And again, I'm sorry if I'm wrong about this, but I like to try and show that I know my research. A former boyfriend wrote you a record and said, hey, this is easier to express through song.
Yeah,
and that kind of inspired your idea to do this back to him. And then finally, now 10 years later, it's coming out. But now you're married to someone else, right? So my thought process would be, A, your husband would be like, why the fuck are you singing about that guy? Write about me. You know, did it get any weird when this started happening?
Oh, well, yeah. My husband and I, we always joke around that all these songs are about my cat.
That's wrong.
Yeah, but you know, I think that's what's cool about music. I mean, there's lyrics in my husband's songs that are from before me. He doesn't really write about girls though, but you know, there are experiences and mindsets that he was at where I would never agree with that now, and neither would he. And you know, you grow from that. You know, I'm going to be celebrating 15 years of sobriety in July, you know. So
congrats.
Yeah. So like, you know, the person that I was back then is definitely not the person I am now, you know? Right.
Did any of that, so that singer wrote you an album. Mm-hmm. I don't know who he was. I'm not going to ask you. I've never seen you mention it, so I'm sure it's not public.
David Hasselhoff. Goddamn lie.
Did he ever release that album?
Yeah.
He did. Okay. So somewhere out there, there's an album about Kat Von D.
Yes.
All right, that's fascinating. That's pretty fucking cool. I like that. It'd be cool now if your husband decided to release an album about some ex-girlfriend from 10 years ago to see if it could piss you off. That would be cool.
There's a difference. It's not like I'm writing these songs now.
Right, I know. It's still just, I think it would be, I give your husband credit. It's a pretty open dude saying, yeah, go ahead. Sing about that dude. Who gives a shit? That's kind of cool. But now the album originally was a rock record. And then as you were putting it together, I'm going to describe it as modern new wave. Is that
totally.
I don't know the fucking way to describe it.
Well, you know, it wasn't necessarily a rock record. I think there was more rock elements. You know, Dave Grohl had done all the drums on it. And there was some guitar elements, but kind of more like post-punk 80s style. It wasn't metal by any means. Like, and then when we had the lockdown, my bandmates moved in and we just started mixing things and just, you know, just to keep our heads straight during the whole lockdown. We didn't know how long it was going to be for. And it just developed into all the stuff that I love so much and I love the most, which is like all the analog synthesizer sounds. So I love synthwave or, you know, music inspired by 80s movie soundtracks, you know, like it just hits home in a different way, you know, and we put our modern take on it.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it's rare that you see a band lineup that includes two synth players, a drummer and a contortionist. That's a pretty cool lineup. And Greg Foreman, I've never met him, but I know him from Cat Power. Everyone knows Cat Power. So it's a pretty cool lineup. How did you find the contortionist? And how did that become to be? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I met Bryn. Bryn Rout is like a pure athlete. Like she does things with her body that I can't even comprehend. But I had just launched my shoe line and I wanted to do a campaign. And I'm like, you know, I didn't want to just hire like a model to look cute, like, or just typical, like everyone else does. And I said, how cool would it be if it was this like beautiful, like beautifully styled contortionist? And so my friend connected me with Bryn and she came over and I fell in love with her as a person. Mm-hmm. And obviously her skill is like, you know, undeniably amazing. But I just was like, how do I just create projects so that I could hang out with Bryn?
It's like the old band Arrested Development. They had like 10 people in the background. One guy like held the goat. That was his job.
There was an old dude in a rocking chair with a cane.
Yeah, that was his job.
An old dude in a chair. Stupid. That's what they would tell you when you asked.
Yeah, but you know, but Bryn actually, like we when we do like our stage design, you know, she's a really important part of the show. And that's one thing that I love about performing live, because I'm a huge fan of music and I hate when I go to see a band that you love and then they just like stand there behind an instrument. Right. Like I like to see a show. Like I love seeing Kiss, you know, like,
yeah. Larger than life shows. Fire, you're going to see a show to see a show, which I agree with you. Yeah. I always love things that like are like, what the fuck am I watching? This is wild. You want to be inspired. I agree with you. And your drummer, I don't think he speaks English, but he scares the shit out of me. He looks like a real demon, that dude.
Yeah, but going back to Bryn, you know, she inspired a few tracks on the album too, because we were sitting there thinking like, let's make some instrumental moments that we can leave the stage. And she has her performance pieces. And you know, we did a short run on the West Coast. And I feel like by the end of the tour, everybody was just waiting for her part, you know, which
that's
I love.
Cool. I like this idea that you're all in a room together trying to write the next song and, you know, someone's playing a piano and she goes, well, what about this?
Yeah,
does that work in any sort of way?
Exactly. Because people were like, you know, oh, she doesn't play an instrument. I'm like, her body's an instrument.
That's fucking cool. Also, what I like is that because you seem like a person, you're delving into this. You took 2 years of vocal lessons because you already had the piano background, but you're like, if I'm going to sing, I'm going to do this right.
Yeah.
Did it make it difficult to think all of a sudden now, because you're so used to, even though you were, you know, in TV shows and stuff like that, it's far more vulnerable to be the person standing in front of the stage singing. Did you find that transition difficult or was that easy for you?
I mean, I don't get stage fright per se, but I think that, I think to me, it's more like I find security if I know, like I practice a lot. Like, you know, even before any kind of rehearsal, like there's always preparation. And I think like there's some people that just show up and they're cool and they don't need to do all that. And for me, I'm like kind of crazy about it. You know, like even prepping for a tour, you know, we'll do two weeks of rehearsals. And but also, you know, our shows are a lot more intensive than just like a band playing. So we've got like digital programming for like the light shows and for the like the projection on the big LED screens and film vignettes. Like there's just a lot that goes into it. So I think that like when you prepare ahead of time, there's nothing to be scared of because you already know the drill, you know?
Right.
And so
right.
Yeah, I don't really get nervous per se.
I would say I watched, you know, a few of the videos. The video for Fear You was like a movie. It's like an actual movie, that video, which is pretty cool. You're putting, you're really going
we
in.
We suck as actors, okay? I know that. But that was part of it. That was supposed to be funny.
Well, then I don't have to ask that question then about acting lessons.
No, but that was part of, it was supposed to be camp, you know, like just dramatic. And like, you know, I wrote the treatment for that video. And I was like, okay, I want Sammy to be coming out of a house, like fighting with her boyfriend. And she, you know, and so my husband is actually the guy that's in the house yelling at her. And there was like an improv moment where we're walking away and he just says, "Your band sucks, Sammy." And I just remember it was so perfect and amazing because, you know, I don't know.
It's cool. I enjoyed it.
That most was of the time it's the other way around, you know, but yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So now, am I right that you guys have already, I mean, I want to talk a little bit about more who's on this record, but are you also halfway through writing the second one already?
Yeah. We've already written about eight of the tracks and now we're starting to move into production. So,
the fact that, you know, you can't really tour right now, I think the dates got rescheduled, that's happening to everybody. Does that make you want to hold off on recording this? Because right now, logically, people would have heard a lot of this first record live. They can't yet. So does that make you want to hold off or like, are you just going to record anyway?
I just create for the sake of creating, you know, and it's like, if nobody heard it, I would still be doing it. But I just think right now we're just taking advantage of this time that we have. And to be honest, I'm just really inspired right now. And I think when that happens, you just have to ride that wave. And you know, we're leaving to go to Europe for the European tour in May. And so we don't really have that much time. I don't think we're going to finish the album before that, but it's just nice to get start on things.
Yeah. I think it was
and out. Also too, like,
sorry.
There's some people that write songs like in an hour and they're done. And for me, it takes quite some time, especially with the lyrics. I kind of treat it like math. And sometimes it just takes me a long time, you know?
We had Alice Cooper on the show about 6 months ago or something like that. And he said he's expecting nothing but incredible records to come out once this pandemic is over, because everyone's just been home writing because that's all they can
do right now. So I think a lot of people are wasting time on the internet. That's for sure. I see a lot of that. Like I actually have like a deep concern for like the state, especially where I am right now. Nobody wants to work. Like everybody has become welfarized. It's just a lot easier to stay at home. And it's almost like there's been a lull in creativity. I think there are some bands that are really, you know, making it happen, but it's kind of dangerous. You know, I think, I don't know. I worry about
that. I've heard people talking about like a shortened work week of like 3 days and all this like rethinking, but I think that, you know, it's unfortunate, the laws of motion on a body at rest stays at rest. And it's just, I think that, you know, hopefully we'll kick this, once everything opens up again, I'd love to see a full cycle of everyone out again. James, you look like you have something you're dying to say, James.
I'm just enjoying you two breaking down society. I mean, I didn't realize
people go to me when they want a real hot take on this country. They go to me for sure, James.
I mean, you are the, let's just be honest, you're the new Thomas Paine. Yeah, I mean, that's really what it is. Don't act like if you don't know Thomas Paine, if you don't know philosophers or sports,
I'm borderline mentally challenged. So come on now, James. All right, before we go any further, a brand new sponsor. It's quite simple. Stop using fucking bad soap. Your skin hates you for it. Get some fucking good soap instead. Where? Fuckinggoodsoap.com, of course. Fucking good soap. So fun to say. Was started in 2018 in Portland, Oregon, with one purpose in mind: make the best bar of soap in the universe and give everyone the middle finger while doing it. So it's not just a name, it's a promise. Handcrafted in a small batch process, most fucking good soap bars contain only 7 natural and organic ingredients and start at just $7 each. Choose from 15 incredible scents, including spearmint, peppermint, ginger and lime, cucumber melon, and the insanely popular Man Bar with its perfect combination of mahogany and musk. Be careful with this one. It is a panty soaker, as the copy says, and that may have been the more appropriate name for it. The panty soaker. Support a small business and smell fucking good and feel fucking good while doing it. Go to fuckinggoodsoap.com, fuckinggoodsoap.com, and use the promo code SDR for 10% off your entire order. That's fuckinggoodsoap.com for dirty mouths and clean bodies. All right, let's get back into it. So you mentioned Dave Grohl. So you said that did his drums get taken off the record when you turned it into what it is now? Or is he still on
the scene? But we're releasing the original tracks. Like, see, those were mixed by a gentleman named Adam Noble out in London. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And so I met him because he had produced like some of the last Placebo records, and I'm a huge Placebo fan. And so I'm really proud of that first run. And so I do want to share that with the world. I think we actually have them slated to be released this month. So you'll get to hear all the.
Placebo was the one that had that song, A Friend in Need is a Friend. Yeah. That was a great, that was a good song. It's the only one I remember off the top of my head right now, but that was a good, I remember liking that record. Peter Murphy's on the record, which is cool as shit.
Right? I know.
And then what I really love, another former guest of the show, Linda Perry, worked with you on the record, and she is just fascinating to talk to. What an interesting woman.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
We wrote, I think, 8 of the songs on the album I wrote with Linda. And so she really helped me in the beginning, you know, because I came from this classical music background. So I was very like kind of like rigid and like wanted everything to be structured perfectly. And she was just like, you need to like relax and be okay with things not being perfect. And that was, she said that would be like my biggest challenge. And so I was really grateful for all her help.
Tell that same sentence to women that come to me in the bedroom. You just need to relax. Things are not going to be perfect. So just deal with it.
Just don't be so rigid.
Cause pain at work again.
I think the first time I ever saw you was from a band that's one of my favorite bands of all time. You were in the Killing Loneliness video with him. And I was fortunate enough, I became somewhat very minusculely friendly with Villa over the years. And I got to see the last show in New York, I got an invite from them and went that day. And that was one of my favorite moments. I fucking love that band. You also sang on the 69 Eyes, another band I love. So that's great that, you know, people may not realize, obviously they know you from tattooing and dating some various rock stars. What about, you've been in the music world in one way, shape or form for a very fucking long
time. You just got so much cooler to me right now.
Did I? Because I know him? Or
no, because you know bands like the 69 Eyes. It's so cool.
Oh my God, yeah. I love all that shit. I had a rock radio show for 20 years that was on about 100 stations around the country.
Yeah, but that's a pretty obscure Finnish band. That's pretty dope.
He sounds like a type O guy. You know, that's his voice. And I used to get confused with Pete Steele because we live 10 blocks from each other. So I became friends. Anything that sounds that vibe, I'm a big fan.
Same.
The most recent single is a Selena cover. I'm not going to try pronounce it in Spanish, but it means pictures and memories.
Try, Ralph.
Pictures and memories. Fotos y recuerdos.
You got it.
Come
on.
I'm even cooler now, James.
Buddy, you're just shooting up the charts right now.
So I imagine you were just a big fan of hers. Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, you know, when I first moved to America from Mexico, we didn't speak any English. And so her crossover album was like a really... It was just on heavy rotation at the house because it was kind of like our introduction to the English language. So, you know, I remember when she, you know, died that my mom came to school and like pulled us out of school and stuff. And
wow.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And but that song, that Fotos y Recuerdos, is actually like a cover of the Pretenders' Back on the Chain Gang. And
really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So I thought that was so weird and cool.
That's pretty wild. It's funny how many times people don't realize songs are covers, you know, like the amount of people that don't know the Judas Priest, Diamonds and Rust is a cover. Like there's so many that people don't know. Even Quiet Riot's song was a cover, you know, that people don't know that. It is amazing how many songs that went big that people have no idea. Yeah. So that's pretty wild. So now the last couple of things, we don't have all the time in the world with you. I saw that you announced that you sold your house, you moved to Indiana. And there's a documentary about your house itself. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So we haven't moved yet. I'm right now. This is the house in LA that we live in. And we're going to wait until it sells to officially move over there. And so I'm remodeling another Victorian house in Indiana that I discovered that it's just like, I just love Victorian homes. And I spent the last 6 years remodeling this one and restoring it. And so I just finished wrapping the filming for the documentary, and it's getting edited now about this house. And yeah, I don't know. I'm a sucker for architecture. I like a very specific style of architecture. Like, people are like, you should be an interior designer. I'm like, I only know how to do creepy
one thing.
Haunted mansion. That's all I know.
So may I ask, like, why Indiana? Like, how did that come about?
Well, the house itself, I had my eye on for a long time, but it was operating as a bed and breakfast for the last decade. And then it went on the market. And so I said, I've never spent time in Indiana, and everybody that I know from Indiana has never heard of this little town. It's like super teeny tiny. Mm-hmm. And we flew out there and fell in love with the town and the house. And, you know, we got a kid and we just want to raise him around nature. And I think that's very appealing to us now. And I've lived in Hollywood all my life and I'm kind of over it, you know?
Right. I get it. I personally, James, I don't know about you, but I fucking hate Hollywood. I hate LA. I hate going there. I don't like to go there. I go when I have to. And that's it. I never liked it.
I hate it so much. I'll be there March 25th through April 1st. I'm opening up a club. I'm doing my thing, dog.
Oh, Jesus.
Going to Russo and Frank's. Come on. Right.
Oh, congratulations. Thanks. Oh, nice.
Come on, babe.
No, I love LA. I just don't, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of our, you know, well, I've never been a fan of the government, but it's just, it's getting pretty like Wild West out here.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, everywhere right now, I think.
And I'm doing the kid, baby. So it's perfect for me. I'm Wyatt motherfucking Earp. Let's go.
Dial it back.
can I ask a question real quick, Ralph? Yeah. Chat, so this is ironic. When I was told you were going to do the show and I was going to be guest hosting, I have 5 tattoos, and I always, like, when I get an idea for one, I always workshop it. And then so the irony, I had a 6th one, and then when Shannon was like, can you do this? I go, I have to ask Kat if this makes sense, if you don't mind. So you see, I got this nonsense here, and I got your, right? And then I got this, but I got nothing here to balance it out. Okay. So I was going to get another script. Would you
say?
It's going to be a quote from a movie that inspired me because I perform better with spite. What do you think of me getting in similar letters to this? Not quite my tempo from the wonderful movie Whiplash, to remind myself that no matter what someone thinks, I'm not good enough, and fuck them.
Oh, I love that.
God bless. Look at this. I've never felt better in my life. I feel like this is a huge victory.
That's so cool. I love that.
I think you should have it say ice, ice, baby. That would be cooler.
Oh, I'm gonna do that above my 3 dots that I have in honor of you. I'm gonna brag that you said it was good when I'm getting this next week. I'm gonna be like, look, just so you know, if you're questioning this, you know who fucking thinks it's the best? Also, real quick, Kat, you said,
I don't know, ice ice baby is kind of like
really right, Ralph. Now I'm gonna fucking double. Yeah, I'm not getting ice ice baby. Both, I love you both. You can jump in the lake. You said your first tattoo, you did a Misfits tattoo. Are they clearly the band that you've had to tattoo the most on people, or is there someone, is there an emblem of a band that is more? I'm guessing Misfits, maybe Ramones.
No, Morrissey. People.
And you're in LA, of course. All right, now I'm changing everything. I'm going to get every day is like Sunday tattooed on my arm.
But I will still say, like, I still think the most tattooed portrait is still Marilyn Monroe.
That makes sense. How about this? This is a hacky question, but I'm just curious. I don't even know how many tattoos you have, but is there any that you wish you could remove, or you're happy with all of them?
No, I just blacked out on this side. I forget. Yeah. Like, I just blacked out. I used to have like an ex's name there, but I don't really care about that kind of stuff. You know, like, that stuff doesn't really bother me. I discovered this artist who does all the blackout tattoos, and he just started blacking out all my arms. Mm-hmm. And people are really tripping out on that.
Looks
like,
I think it
looks cool too. You know, I had just a bunch of drunken tattoos, just like years and years of, like, I literally had Vodka Forever tattooed on my wrist, and I drank tequila. Like, it made no sense.
Even better.
There was a girl I knew of, and I was in college. She always would say, I want to get something tattooed here. She didn't know what. She said it all the time. And then she eventually got the word something tattooed.
Something.
And just so she could finally, it'll rain through. It is what it is.
So people were just like, why would you do that to your body? And I'm just like, I don't really want to celebrate like all this nonsense that I had before. And, you know, I like the just the simplicity of it. I think it looks cool. I think it matches my
I like it. I think it's pretty badass. All right. Before we go any further, one of our newer sponsors, it is called MePod, MIPOD.com. If you are a longtime smoker and you're looking for a way to transition over to vaping, you may be a lot happier if you start looking into MePod, MIPOD.com. Supposedly the science says it's better for you and it's a good way to start leaning towards quitting smoking. But if you are not a smoker, this commercial is obviously not for you. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Having said that, they have the VaporLax Vape, which is an adjustable airflow so you can control the hit. The MePod 2.0, which is their state-of-the-art refillable device with long-lasting battery and a design to optimize flavors. VaporLax Salt, which is available in 2.5 and 5% strengths. And Sirius Vape, which is a long-lasting disposable, ready to go right out of the box with 15 available flavors. So if you're smoking, this is way better for you. And if you like flavors, they got a bunch of them as well. So it's time to try MePod, MIPOD.com. Use the promo code SDR and you get 20% off. And like always, you're supporting the sponsors that support the show. MePod.com, promo code SDR, and get 20% off. Why the fuck not? All right, let's get back into it. All right, Shannon, we're going to do the first now.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show, as you know, is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR show. We've asked every guest this since the dawn of time. Their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll and mean hopefully something that we're going to know. A concert you went to, ideally on your own volition, but something, you know, hopefully that we would know. Is there one that comes to mind?
Yeah. Let me see. Like the first real concert.
Yeah.
Like, cause I went to like a little punk rock shows. I mean, I don't know if you will know this band, but it was like the reunion tour for this band called Subhumans.
Sure.
I know them. I know them, but I don't
I'm
know
from
them
Vegas
well.
And grew up with punk. Yeah.
Yeah. How old were you?
So, I mean,
we lost you. We lost you for a second. Say that
again. Around 14 or 15. Oh, probably around 14 or 15.
And is that like you were already into rock and roll, obviously, at that point? You're tattooing.
Yeah, I was like deep into punk rock at the time. Like, I just, like, my first record was like a Plasmatics record, and I had a mohawk and, you know. But, so yeah.
That's pretty cool. Okay, now, the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
No, of course weed's your first drug. It's everyone's
most people,
first
you'd
drug,
be surprised.
Right?
Not everybody, but yeah.
It's all heroin.
85% of people. So the one after weed.
I mean, I've done it almost all. I would say, I think like the big contender after weed was blow.
It was blow. Okay. By the way, we had a crazy show last night where the dude was definitely doing a lot of blow.
Oh, no.
He went into the bathroom and the chair just had fucking cocaine dust all over the chair.
Wow.
It was bizarre. It was one of the most bizarre episodes that we've ever done on the show. Shannon, any input on that?
Oh, the things that his jaw was doing. Oh, yeah. I've never seen a jaw do before. It was crazy.
It was crazy. I also thought at the beginning, I thought he was hitting on me because we're looking at each other and he keeps going like this. I was like, this guy trying to really badly hit on me. Like, what is going on? Yeah, that was crazy. But I've said this 1,000 times and I apologize to our listeners, but I've never done any drugs. I try a drug on the show once a year and then never do it again.
You do?
Yeah, I've done coke on the show. It was like 3 years ago.
Oh my
show.
God, why would you do that?
I don't have an addictive personality. I've done them all once. I hated them all. It's just they are the most watched episodes when we do them. And I've hated every, I just don't have a, I'm not made for that. I'm a big puss. Like, as I said, I have no tattoos. I'm not, it's not going to, none of, I have left over every drug that we've ever done sitting in my apartment.
Yeah.
So that's just it is what it is.
Oh, and then we get to the episode where you do H and there's no looking back, unfortunately.
She has a naked cat. I love those cats. All right. So now last one is the first time you had sex.
I was pretty young and it was, should I say his name? I shouldn't, right?
I mean, you go by first name, they're not going to know if you know, but if you go, you know, his full name and his address, that would be weird.
I mean, is it a famous person? I mean, what are you about to say? Dave Barrow? If it's Dave Barrow, you gotta fucking say it on this show.
Okay, like, you know when you say, like, who's the girl, your first kiss, and you're like, you know, Mary Johnson. You just know they're was it
Mary Johnson? Because that's
no,
cool.
It was a guy named Danny.
Danny, and you were in high school.
Yeah, and it was outdoors, and it was actually quite romantic. In the middle of an orange grove.
So nice, not punk rock. I thought it was going to be like on a cemetery or that with a band playing in the background or something like that.
That's in Southern California. There's like orange groves here.
And was it a one-off thing or was it someone who's your boyfriend or what?
He was my boyfriend, but you know, it was funny was that, not really funny. It was a kind of a coincidence that it happened. So like my first day of seventh grade, and I will say this girl's name, her name was Sarah Buxton, and she made fun of me like on my way to like the last class. And you know, I had like black lipstick on or something. Mm-hmm. And she was like a head cheerleader and had all the friends in the world, like had no reason to pick on me, but in front of everybody, she was like, "Hey, it's not Halloween." And she just, and everybody was laughing. And I don't know what I felt at the time. I thought, if I don't do something right now, this is going to go on for the rest of the year. And so I went over there and we got into a fight. And anyways, Danny was her boyfriend.
Oh, that's great. That's a great, what a great fuck you. That's awesome. One of my friends, he did nothing. It's not that, but he had an argument with a guy and he went over to the house and the guy was not there, but his girlfriend was. And then he ended up having sex with his girlfriend and used that dude's condoms. Which ew, I think is just such a fucked up thing. It's so crazy, though. It's just it's a weird story. Anyway, I know you also have what a horrible segue, by the way. You have a children's book coming out.
Great segue. Top five segues of all time segue, on this show or any show.
You have a shoe. You mentioned it earlier. You have a vegan shoe line, right?
Yeah. So
I know your Instagram is VKatVonD. Is there anything else you want to plug? You know, the album is obviously in Spotify. We're going to.
Oh, you're so sweet. Yeah, no, I just enjoyed talking to you guys, man. You guys are amazing. This was hilarious.
No, thank you so much. So
any more drugs, please. Don't do drugs.
We're supposed to do what is it, Shannon? Is it Whippets? We're gonna do
and GHB is the other one.
Oh my god. Whippets.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You want to come watch this idiot do these things? Yeah, Whippets, I think, is easy,
please don't.
Right?
That's the layup. GHB is a little drastic.
But supposedly, GHB, like if you do the right amount for your size and weight and blah, 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 it's supposed to be great. I don't know. I really think that it's the staff's 5-year plan to gang rape me. That's what they're doing it for.
By the way, I've had that GHB in my drawer for years now. Does it go bad? I think maybe it's bad.
Yeah, we're going to find out on the show.
I love that you're out that you're like, well, if it's the right. Wait,
I don't know. The fuck do I know? Like,
who are you, Walter fucking White or Chad Gilligan or Vince Gilligan? You're gonna just goddamn figure this out. You're gonna do.
I mean, the next one we're gonna do is we're gonna do the Whippets because what's his name? The comedian is gonna come in and do it with TJ. TJ is gonna do it with us, and I know a lot of the rock stars we've had on the show want to come in and do a drug with us, so that would be fun. Well, you know, why not?
This we'll is do great. That. You're going to get hooked on fucking horse.
So again, the album is in the Spotify store at the Kat Von D. Not like you need any help on your fucking Instagram. Jesus Christ, you have a lot of following. But let's go around the room. James, you want to do your plugs?
Yes. The James Matter on Instagram. I have a brand new podcast with my boy Shuli, formerly of The Stern Show, called Thanks for Coming Out, a podcast about bombing. We talk to comedians about bomb stories. We also do episodes on our Patreon, and we're going to drop a few where we watch bombs. We just did one of me bombing on television, and it was fucking painful. And also, go get my album, man. It's the best thing I've ever done. It is called The Check Spot. It's me doing stand-up while people pay their bills, and it was voted Album of the Year by the Intero Bang, baby. Ba, 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 ba.
By the way, with what's going on in the world right now, I don't know if you want to say bombing as much as you just said bombing right now. Shannon, can you do your plugs?
Thomas Paine.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Listen to my podcast, The Thing Is, Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting people come on, comedians, musicians, porn stars, reality TV stars, and they tell their own personal experiences of a bad date they've been on, a time they got into a physical altercation, and experience with the paranormal.
Okay, now don't give us any indication, Kat, but I think across the board we're all going to agree on this.
Layer.
At the end of the show, we always try and guess, does our guest believe in ghosts? And I have to say, if this is a no, I'm going to be fucking shocked. So I'm saying yes, James.
Shannon, if this is a no, you need to cancel your podcast because then it does, If she doesn't believe, that no one should believe, and it doesn't even fucking matter. It's an easy yes.
Shannon, your thoughts?
I'll go on DraftKings right now and put everything on.
Yeah, it has to be yes.
And we write that?
Well, here's the thing. Everybody said this house was haunted. Everybody said this house was haunted. Everybody said the other house is haunted. And I just have never seen it. And I think I have to see it. I have to see it to believe it.
You want to believe it?
I do. Okay. I mean, you know, I don't know. I think my scientific mind is like, you know, I don't know. There's like, you know, you live in an old house. They just make noises, you know, it's right. Like sometimes people's perception is, I just personally haven't seen that yet.
Well, I was, well, boy, James, I think you would have lost your bet on that one.
I think this,
no, I don't not believe. I no, just haven't.
Push. You haven't had a reason to believe yet, but you're open to it. You think it's a yeah. That's fair enough. Oh, yeah. I call that a push. We'll call it.
We don't lose no money on this, baby.
Yeah, that's a push. Okay. All right, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness that's in the top 200 of health right now comes out every Monday. It's called the Good Sugar Podcast. And our first store, which is going to be on 3rd Avenue, 69th Street, the Good Sugar location is opening, I'm going to say, in May.
That's in my neighborhood.
I'm excited for it to open. You know, I do it with the founder of Juice Press. We've been doing it together for about, I want to say, 3 years of the show. And that's everything. Honestly, it was great to have you on, Kat. We had a song every week to our playlist. We're going to add, James, why don't you try and pronounce it right now? I said it before, Pictures and Memories in Spanish. Do you remember?
Yeah.
You should play Exorcism. That's my favorite.
Okay, Exorcism was the first single, I believe.
You want me to enunciate Exorcism, Ralph, or no?
How do you say Exorcism in Spanish? Probably the same thing.
Words that probably,
Exorcismo.
Take that.
Yeah. By the way, go ahead, James, I'm sorry.
I could say it. Remember, I grew up in Vegas, and for 4 years, I thought I was Mexican. I still might be, but I haven't taken the fucking test, and we don't need to go into that shit now.
I also liked how I butchered the title with my crappy Spanish, and she made it sound so cool. I'm like, Fotos y Rick. And then she sounded like, oh, yeah, that's how it's supposed to sound.
Well, you should get gringo.
We'll add The Exorcist to our playlist, the SDR Show comes as playlist. Honestly, Kat, it was a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for being a part.
You're number one, Kat.
And we'll see you all next time on the SDR Show. Peace.
Bye.
Listening to the SDR Show.